Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones. A Paolo DiCanio. A West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. The West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Season 13, episode 14. And the excuses keep on coming from George, that is. He's in Portugal, isn't he, John, this time?
He is, yes. He's just won the doubles trophy.
Yeah. Oh, did he? What, he's playing golf?
He's just sent a copy, picture of him holding the doubles trophy with his mate.
PGA? Is it PGA?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, he's in Portugal. But the rest of us are in town. John, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home doing a podcast with yous.
Excellent. Canning Town Len, where are you? What yous doing?
I'm sitting in front of a painting of a bumblebee. That hasn't gone very well, and I'm doing a podcast with you, which is probably going to carry on in the same vein, I imagine.
Oh, okay.
It's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Is it going to get messy over there?
Hey! Back from Devon, Nigel, Shedman, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Cut that off before we have to pay 5p to if we play the whole song, we have to pay 5p to George. Welcome back. How's your journey to the studio?
Despite the rumours of M25 problems, was actually good.
Yeah, how about the traffic lights?
Traffic lights?
Yeah.
What about them?
Was in joke.
Yeah, there was a couple, actually. the movable type got on my nerves. They'd set them up in between me leaving home and coming home.
Do you remember the traffic lights in season one, John?
Yes.
With old Reese. Where is he now? We'll have to get him on. Is he retired now? He's still alive, isn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, excellent. Anyway, we've got some football to talk about, and we're probably going to be... Get comfortable, because this is going to be a two-episode podcast, and we've asked questions really early. And we've got two games to discuss. Olympiacos in Athens. It was billed to be a cauldron of trouble. It was called to be that there would be fighting on the streets, and that it would be dark times. Touché, Len would say. But it was a bit of a damp squib, wasn't it? You know, from a trouble point of view, everybody I spoke to who went out, including...
I'd call it good, actually.
Yeah, from said, a trouble point really of view. Organised.
Not for me, it weren't. I could have fucking made a few quid out of a painting if someone punched something in the face.
No one lamped anyone. They said it was really well organised by the club, by the police. Police were everywhere. No trouble on the streets. They had to turn up an hour and a half early. 30 coaches took them there with a police escort. The only trouble, they said, there was a little bit of trouble, technical trouble, getting through the turnstiles. The ticketing system broke down, so they just let them in anyway. no checks of tickets or anything. Just come in anyway. And the other problem, everybody told me, was laser pointers. That they had laser pointers pointing at all the supporters and all the players, and the players asked to move to the other side of the pitch, and that was refused. So, you know, if laser pointers were the biggest... Oh, no, sorry. The biggest trouble, actually, was the English media were spat at, and a roll of sellotape was thrown at one member of the media. Did you read about that?
Was that by the West Ham fans?
What?
Like spitting at the media and...
No. This was Olympiakos fans when they went the media day. Olympiakos, and they said they were bruised, they were spat on, and someone threw a roll of sellotape towards the press. Of course, that made the news. I mean, it's an exclusive in the Daily Mail.
Bit of a sticky situation.
I like it, John. You're on form tonight.
I was going to say
that,
but I couldn't be arsed.
Anyway,
we'll have you cracking them jokes by the end of this podcast.
It's an all loss podcast, you know, three losses in a row.
You all predicted wins.
I know. Let's start with.
I didn't.
Did you not?
No, you didn't. No.
Let's start with
said
you.
Two
you
one.
One, didn't you?
Mostly because I know you didn't watch it.
2-1 loss, I said.
Did you? Well, you were right. Yeah,
I was.
What did you make of the game then?
I don't think it went very well. I think it was
You didn't watch it. You didn't watch it.
there you go then. We'll leave it
Wrong? Why didn't you watch it?
I know why.
You went to curry night, didn't you?
I went for curry, yeah.
Yeah, you went
for
to
a load
curry
of old
night,
mates.
And I said, I can't go because the football's on, gentlemen.
Couldn't you have watched it on your phone, John?
Oh,
no,
you'd be fined for that. You get a yellow card on the monthly curry night for watching football on your phone.
I haven't got it on the phone, to be honest.
Anyway, it was probably done by 8 o'clock, weren't you, in curry night, the old boys?
Yeah, I got away from there about 8:30.
Oh, okay. It's all over. Anyway, yes, sorry to come to you. Nigel. Now that we can hear you and you're not in on a road or the A303, etc.
This week. Yep.
This week. What did you make of Olympiakos?
Organised. I don't know. Did they drop players? I don't know enough
about them.
I know that, you know, they are the best team in historically in Greek football. Appeared in Europe more times than the other Greek team. 31 or 32 seasons of European football. Have played Champions League football, you know, within the last 5 or 6 years, I believe. But I'm not really. I think they're top of the table, aren't they, at the moment in Greece?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Despite having games abandoned because of fireworks.
Yeah.
So tonight you
dine in hell.
Well, you've ate Sam's cooking as well, have you?
Yeah. While we're on there, is it true that you finished the kitchen?
Of course it ain't true.
Well, why did you lead me to believe you finished the kitchen?
Because you was fucking winding me up and I thought I'd give it back to you.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I should have asked
that. I didn't actually say I'd finished the kitchen.
When I said it.
I said, what makes you think I haven't finished it? And you just wound your neck in, so it worked.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway.
Anyway, so, I mean, the first half, I was driving home, so I was listening to it. Who was co-coms? Was it Don Hutchinson? And because I actually put the TV feed, so I could listen to the TV feed.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't watch it while I was driving along, of course.
No, of course not.
So I just put the TV feed on so I could listen to it. Quite telling, really. The first goal was, I suppose, a great bit of finishing by the captain of Olympiakos. But there was some... we backed off and allowed him to shoot.
Yeah.
And
Fortunis, is it? Is his name 33?
Well, it was Fortunis for him when we backed off.
So, good goal, though.
No, and you can't take, you know, it's bottom corner, went low. I don't know if there's blame to be apportioned. I think
it was Obonna,
realistically,
wasn't it?
Areola should have.
Obonna, I know he scored the.
Obonna was
own
the second
goal.
One. He backed away from it.
But I thought he backed away from the first one as well.
And this is the thing, you look at it, you know, seven changes. Would he have been better off putting out, you know, the A team? As possibly you could call them, though, the way they're playing at the moment, possibly not. Or the A could stand for arseholes. But if he'd have put them out, because realistically, if you look at that, if we'd have won that game, that would have stuck us on 9 points, leaving Olympiakos and the Serbs on one. That's virtually job done, isn't it? But now it's still a bit of a bum fight to qualify, because that's the important bit. And really, we want to qualify.
Second and six, aren't they?
As champions, you know, because then you don't have to play the extra game.
Yeah.
The second goal was the killer just before half time. You know.
Is
it because they're not playing? I don't know. You know, like a bit of was in boxing terms, bit of ring rustiness. I don't know. He's reached for a ball. There was no one there. You know, it's a goal that you can only put down to a lack of communication between keeper and player.
There was commentary saying that Areola should have called for it, and
he may have done. We just didn't hear him. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. We don't know where, but there was definitely a breakdown in communication
between him and Obonna. Yeah,
and then the second half. You know, I suppose realistically, I mean, the only thing I see is the last 10 minutes, or the last 15 minutes, considering it was 10 minutes of extra time, we were the better team. So when we put our better players on...
Yeah, when we scored, you're right, after we scored. And that was on 87, though. Pacatar scored.
Yeah, but we'd been building up to
it. Yeah, it was good goal by Pacatar.
So there was... you know, you could see that with our better players on the pitch, we were a better team, but we just left it too late to do anything. So, you know, the end of a fantastic run, 17 games.
Which will be replaced by Man City very soon.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, that lasted long, didn't it?
At least
forever,
we did it, didn't it?
But
you say that. Better to achieve that than achieve nothing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know...
The atmosphere looked good as well. I mean, fair play to them. The atmosphere did look cracking.
In Europe, that's what you get.
Yeah. Let me just do a quick stat attack for you. Because I know you like your stats. Mm-hmm. Olympiakos at home, only 43%, meaning we had the majority, 57% of possession.
Wow, we had most of the ball.
Yeah, they had 15
Well, that
shots.
Should have kept the fans happy then, surely, yeah. Sean, because all this allowing the other team to have the ball and winning the game, that's not the proper football, is it?
Yeah, I know. 15 shots, 5 on target.
You have to
target.
Do something with it, though, don't you, really?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
15 shots, 5 on target difference. For Olympiakos. 12 shots, 3 on target for West Ham. West Ham had 7 corners, didn't do anything with them to Olympiakos 3. And finally, here's a real interesting stat I didn't know. 15 fouls by West Ham to only 6 by Olympiakos. Mm. Dirty, dirty West Ham.
6 given by the ref.
Yeah. Can't blame the ref for that one, though, can you? You can't say Olympiakos didn't deserve to win.
They set out their stall and they
executed it. And, of course, David Moyes doesn't change tactics. We could have turned it around at the end.
And then you get the stats at the end, just to stick the knife in, that show this is their first win in the Europa in like 10, 11 games. Yeah. And it's their first win against an English team since they beat Man United in 2013.
Yeah, that's right.
Who were managed by David Moyes.
Yeah.
You know,
Could you?
Old Dave, isn't it? You know, he just can't catch a break. You know.
Well, we'll talk about him later. Lenny Boy.
Hello.
This is what I've been waiting for. Your synopsis of our night in Athens. Did you go?
Dampy daft.
Well, I thought you might be there drawing the Acropolis. Is it Acropolis? Or what's the...
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it?
No. I thought you might be, you know, drawing naked Greek women with vases or something.
Oh,
no, that's not...
Vases? Were you American?
Vases. Vases.
Vases. You mean like pouring jugs?
Pouring jugs, that's the one.
Yeah.
Or Greek people with one arm.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally lost.
Anyway, the game. 1, 2, 3.
David.
What was the question, Sean?
What did you think of the game?
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did watch it. I wished I didn't. What I thought of it was, I thought a lot of players that don't get a chance didn't have much fight in them. I can't really remember if Moyes' tactics worked or not, but it was just...
Well, there were seven changes, so...
Yeah, there was a lot of changes.
Areola also played because Fabianski was ill on the morning, sick of something. Kara, Mavropanos, Ogbonna, captain, Emerson, Souček, Ward-Prowse started, Kudus, Benrahma, Fornells and Ings. Ings! Ings. That was the starting lineup. All for nothing.
You wasn't confident when... Well, I wasn't confident when I saw it. And like Sean, Nigel, I beg your pardon, like Nigel, I thought it would be a good idea to get the job done. So
I was hoping Ings proved everyone wrong and scored, but it wasn't to be.
We all want that.
Yeah.
We all want that, but Jesus
Christ. He's got it in his locker, hasn't he?
He needs to fucking take it out and bring it to the game. Jesus Christ. But no, it's a very unimpressive game. It's a shame.
Yeah, it's a shame. I don't think it'll be the same result when they come back. Are you going to that?
No.
No. John, are you coming to the Olympiakos game?
I believe so, yes.
He's having my tickets.
Oh, you're having
bloody
your tickets your way, yeah.
Well, I am having your tickets. That'll myself be good. And George.
Oh, excellent news, yeah. There's
go
always
from
there's
the
a spare ticket
to the ridiculous,
for
John.
Wednesday if you want one for Arsenal, John.
Say that again, mate, sorry.
Do you want to come to Arsenal on Wednesday? There's a spare ticket for Arsenal.
Yeah, I would do, but I'm busy.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Anything else to say about our night in Greece?
No, I think it was a very, very forgettable night.
The West Ham fans seemed to have a nice time sightseeing.
Did they?
Yeah. There was more pictures of Greek ruins than there was of the stadium.
On Facebook, all the West Ham fans I know, they all went to that temple up on the hill, whatever that is. I tell you what, though, it does look nice there. I'll give it some credit, Athens. It does look like a lovely place to go. It's never been one I thought I wouldn't mind going there. And after seeing the photos, you think, actually, there's a few places to go and have a look about, isn't there?
There's a few places to avoid as well, by the looks of it.
Well, yeah.
Can I tell Dodds' story?
Go on. Does it involve a prostitute?
No, it doesn't, right? Dodsy. So everybody I spoke to went, oh, yeah. I had to pay a grand, so I spoke to Dave Baker, and he'd done the EasyJet, and it cost him a grand with the hotel per person.
A grand?
A grand with the flight and the person. He went, took his son out, and I'd spoken to other people and said, look, the flights were £500-600. So I said to Dodsy at the weekend, I said, how much were your flights? He went, 160. I went, how are they so cheap? He went, via Oslo.
Yeah.
I said, all right, okay.
So he actually went further away, and then...
But get this. I said, how much was your hotel? He went, £14 a night. I said, what was it like? He went, we didn't stay there. He said, we got there and we're in the worst place of town, worse than Frankfurt. And he said there were people like with druggies shooting up with heroin and everything. He said he gave us five keys. And he said, like, the first one is for your landing and the next one is for the lift. This is for your bathroom, which is down the hall. This is for your room, and this is for... And they had padlocks and chains on all of them. And they went, nah. Here, keep your £12 or your £14. We're going to stay somewhere else. So they upgraded and went to a £50 or €50 a night hotel. So there you go. Little
that's a great story.
Don't pay £12 a night in Athens and expect to get a decent hotel. Funny that, isn't it?
I'm hysterical.
Yeah.
I just always fathom me what type of hotel they were expecting for that amount of money.
I know. Yeah.
It would have been the bargain of a lifetime. You know, yeah.
If I'd have said to him, yeah, Dodds, come down London. Don't worry, mate. I'll get you an hotel £15 a night.
And he said, first of all, they went, no, you bought us the wrong place. And he looked at it and they'd obviously taken some picture, a side angle to make it look a little bit better than it was. But, yeah. Apparently a big drug problem in... Well, there is every city, I guess, if you go to the wrong area.
You wouldn't know that, Sean, would you?
Well, I did. I booked... When I went to Frankfurt semi-final, I found myself in the red light
don't stay around the station.
Yeah, don't stand... I know that now, but I didn't know that at the time.
Can I just point out, that's generally a rule in most cities you go to. Don't stay around the station.
Yeah, there you go. A little tip for you there, podcast people.
There you go.
Let's move on to the weekend, because of course.
What was your assumption then, Sean?
The game
of the game? Yeah.
Well, I think it didn't matter. Look, we did change. We put out the B squad, and we were caught out. They out tacticked us because they tried their own tactics. They were trying to get us at the break. They gave us the possession ball. We go, what do we do with the ball? Mm. And I agree with whoever said earlier. I think we played a lot of players who haven't played together for a while and we're a little rusty. Did it matter? Did the record matter? Probably not. Will we still progress to the next stage? Probably. I don't know. I think Nigel said the second goal killed us. I think we were still in it. We played well after too late, you know. After 80 minutes, we started playing the ball, but it was too late, too little, too late.
Do you think it would have been wise to have made less changes?
Yeah, of course.
And try to win that game, knowing it's the toughest game on paper.
I'm going to give you a quote later on. Hold that thought, John, because I'm going to give you a quote from the senior source later exactly about that. What was the point of resting and playing the reserves if we were going to... You know, Before great link did. To the next thing. If we yeah. were going to, you know...
Play shit on Sunday.
Play shit on
if
Sunday.
If you sort of, like, go along with, like, what Nigel's line is, that he'd rather... He's happy to bounce along in the league the best we can, try and win the cup and go for it. If you're going to go for that route, then go that route. Do that route. Don't half-heart in both sides of it, you know. Don't go half-hat in the league and half-hat in the cup.
Yeah, I agree. It's not very often I say that, but I agree with you, John. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. We should have played a stronger team because it showed, didn't it?
It was the toughest group in the group.
When the players came on, I mean, Alvarez and Corne, I don't know about Corne, Alvarez certainly on 72, Bowen on 58, Pacatar on 57. Antonio on 58. It was just too late. You know, the game had already... All right, we got one back, but we were chasing the game after that. They'd sort of got it and were defending their 2-0 lead. And why shouldn't they, you know?
Yeah, someone at work said to me was like, why is he not playing your best players in that game?
Yeah.
And I just sort of,
oh, let's hope that doesn't come back to haunt us, John.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know. I'm sure we're going to beat them in our own backyard, and we're trying to think up a big flag to say something back to them that will...
Just as long as someone has a fight that I can paint.
I'm sure the Greek restaurant community will be shutting down on 2 weeks' time next Thursday.
Why? They're going to the game, you think?
I think they will, yeah.
I look forward to the flag.
Yeah, cool. What flag should we say?
Well, I don't know if you're in the middle of it.
They said we dine in hell.
Brady out.
It will be scary.
Brady out. That's
what do we say to them?
Brady out.
Tonight, you dine in Shake Shack.
Yeah, tonight you eat shit pies.
tonight, you won't really be able to see what's going on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, did you have your
mash? Hey, mate, you should have. Even old Tommy looked admiring as I went up the stairs with
two pie mash
in one hand and my single pie mash in my other hand.
Oh, that will set you back, what, 25 quid?
23 quid.
23 quid.
Yeah, but as I said, a double cheeseburger is 12 quid.
Oh, I know it is, yeah.
Double pie mash, 14. Yeah, what are you having? I know what I'm having, and I did. Thank you very much.
Well,
and Charlie was lucky, because if he'd have been any later, I might have had three pie
mash. I was going to say, I thought they were all for you. So.
No. But Charlie only wanted a single. So we had it at half-time. I come down at half-time and got it.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, let's move on to the weekend.
Nigel just did, yeah, pie and mash.
Yeah, well, we didn't quite, it was a rainy old day. We didn't quite get to the ABBA bar, did we? Because it was an early kickoff.
Because we weren't going there.
Because you said don't go there, go to the ground. Me and Len got to the ground, you never turned up.
Yeah, because the trains were atrocious. Yeah.
Well, would have ABBA been any better than
No, it wasn't. We got held at...
It's a shit time to have a game of football.
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
On a Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. Just, I went, no, we don't play games.
Shit.
It must be 2 o'clock. My son said to me, and I
nobody
said, no.
could tell me why we were kicking off at 1 o'clock.
No,
I told you.
Go on, tell me.
No, I won't say it again.
All right, it's free. Anyway, by the way, if you're listening, West Ham, you promised to put the flags back on the wall. I promised Dodsy the flags are still not back. Jake Keith, sort yourself out. You promised, you let me down. Sort out the flags. But as someone said to me when I wrote that on Twitter, flags at least had a problem. How about they promised no shit football?
More than just a podcast dealing with the big issues.
Yeah, the big issues.
They never promised no shit football.
Well, I'm just saying that's what someone said on Twitter.
Well, you like to make shit up, don't you?
I don't make shit up. More of that later. Who did we start with last time? Was it you, Nigel?
No, we started with John. We'll start with John.
He actually watched this game. Well, he was there, obviously,
wasn't he? Yeah, I was there in spirit.
How was it now, your season ticket holder, where John come out in the rain?
Horrible, isn't it? It's horrible, cold and horrible.
Yeah.
Me ticket never updates. I have trouble with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. But, yeah, I watched the game.
Tell the listeners what you told me earlier on your decision when to watch the game.
My decision when to watch the game?
Yeah. Well, you went out for the day.
I was out for... I wasn't rat-arsed. There was a bigger sort of event thing I went to with some friends.
You were inebriated.
But I joined in a sharing of a couple of bottles of wine and a couple of beers. And came back and everyone had agreed not to tell me the score. So I'd recorded it, came in to watch it as live, settled down to watch
it. Sounded like a good idea at the time, John.
At half time, I didn't even fast forward it. At half time, I wandered out, went and got myself another drink. And yeah, I thought, well, we might better nick it. And
we didn't.
We didn't. So it was a disappointing end to a day.
Where did it all go wrong, John?
Where did it all go wrong?
Boys out.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We definitely had more possession.
Yeah.
But we didn't do it. We just kept passing it across the back. James Ward-Prowse has been turned into Mark Noble in his last spell at the club. He just passes it sideways and all backwards. I don't know what's going on. Pakatar was out on the left again. I don't get what he was trying to do.
Started, which is what we've all been calling for.
I thought he looked quite good. I think what sort of took it out of him was when he got his yellow card. I think he pulled his neck in a bit.
I don't know. I didn't think the ref had a great game, to be honest. But maybe.
I didn't understand how that in the yellow cards. I mean, it wasn't really a foul, I don't think, greatly, but. I mean, for what would have gone on
at the game, I think, you know, you don't see replays, so we just thought we just got the wrong rub of the officials.
I don't think the result or anything had a lot to do with that. I think we were out. I mean, they did to us what we would sort of been doing to other teams. They let us have possession and then tried to do us on the break. They got a striker who can score goals and pretty much that's what they did. We didn't have any answer for it. We just, no matter what he looked to do, we didn't look like we could break them down. And it was just, yeah, the longer it went on and the substitutions being made, and he just looked at us huffing and puffing and just didn't.
Yeah, well, it was
it was just not going to be our, yeah, it just wasn't going to be our day. You could see it. And yeah, I mean, in the context of what had gone on the Thursday night, to essentially having a new team play again on this Sunday and to be that lackluster, and you know, the change he made, the Kudus and Souček thing, Souček wasn't the reason we didn't win that game wasn't because Souček didn't start, is it? So
you know the stat I sent, and I don't know what to make of this stat, but Kudus gave away.
Yeah, that was just bollocks going
well,
round.
Well, I thought
that's
he had
just
a good game, but he gave away the ball 8 times.
He didn't give it away.
He dispossessed.
Whatever they think dispossession is, I watched it again today, and he didn't.
Well, they did target him. I will be fair. That they seemed to go for him. That they saw.
They had him covered.
They had 2 or 3 players on him at some.
They
point.
Had. They're all over them. Pacatar, they had, every time we got the ball, they were swarming over him. Every time we passed, we got possession of the ball, when we passed it across the back, they were chasing us down all the time, and we just kept going sideways, back, sideways. So I don't know what's going on with James.
He's playing out of position, isn't he?
Yeah, when he started at the beginning of the season, he looked like a really quality forward-thinking player. And Alvarez looked like a really quality, we're 10 games in now. I mean, what's gone on? Why are these players now looking like...
Well, you mean they've had a couple of bad games, John?
Well,
yeah.
Pacatar on the trot. Is playing out of position, and so is James Ward-Prowse.
James Ward-Prowse it looks to me like he don't even look forward anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's what it looked like when I watched it again today.
I will tell you, John, because I know you'd be waiting. West Ham had the majority of possession, 64%.
Doesn't surprise me.
To their 38. So Sean Dyche doing his usual reverse tactics on Moyes' ball. West Ham had 12 shots, just 2 on target.
We had 12 shots, didn't we?
Yeah. According to BBC, the Toffees had 10 shots, 4 on target. We had 4 corners, their 3. They fouled 11 times to our 7.
12 shots. We didn't have 12 shots.
12 shots off target. Well,
no, I'm not 12
shots. No, 12 shots in the game.
12 shots in the whole game.
2 on target, I believe.
2 on target, correct.
Yeah. 2 on target. It was 2 off target, wasn't it? Or 4 off target and 6 blocked, something like that.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't go into the blocked and the.
Well, anyway.
We lost.
Rounded off my nice day.
How about the goal, Calvin Lewin?
He just turned on it and hit it well, didn't he? Yeah, it was a good finish. But
who'd you blame?
I don't blame anyone. It's just disappointing.
He was in between Agüer and Cresswell, I think.
I didn't turn that game on expecting to have a lively, entertaining game and really being pleased with a 3-4-1 or 3-0 win.
Dyche versus Moyes, and you weren't expecting a spectacular.
I was in my mind thinking we were going to win this game 1-2-0.
Most people
is what I thought. And, there you go. Disappointing.
I saw the beginning of the game, I don't know if you saw this, John, but they did a minute applause for Bobby Charlton.
I did see
and,
that.
And Bill Kenwright, and they dedicated the victory to Bill Kenwright. And Dyche, Jeff Hurst and Moyes went to the centre circle to put a wreath. I got told, you'll know this, Nigel, I don't know if it's true or not, but someone told me that Jeff Hurst is now the last surviving 1966.
First team, yeah, the last of the 11 that won the World Cup. There's a couple of
the starting
squads.
11.
Yeah, there's a couple of the squads that were live.
Right.
But he's the last. So Ian Callaghan, I believe, George Easton. I don't think he's died. I'd have to double check. There's about five left of the, I think it was a 22-man squad.
81 years old, Jeff Hurst.
Yeah, he looks good well. For it as well.
He does. He looked all right at the weekend. Yeah.
So there you go. Charging with your autograph obviously works well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
if you're looking
young.
Anyway, you can
money
at 81.
Over to you, Len.
Hiya.
You were pleased, weren't you, that you made the effort? It was good to see you in the concourse. Thank with you, your little mate. With your little
you're a bit
woolly
unsociable,
hat.
Unsociable, weren't you?
What, why was I unsociable?
You turn up late, you know, you don't have a drink with us. You go
I wasn't
there.
Drinking. I had a splitting headache. I had a miserable journey. I only went down, like, you were carrying on drinking. I like to go down for the build-up, you know? It was, like,
that's
10 minutes
like
before the
avoid.
Game.
Yeah, but the difference between us, though, Sean, is we like to watch the game while you fucking stand there with your phone in the air filming whatever shit's going on.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So.
True.
Yeah.
We probably see more of the game.
While you're eating your pies. Do you know, Merriam was missing again for another game after giving me grief. That's like the fourth game he's missed. Merriam was watching baseball this time. No, not baseball, basketball. American football before that. He just doesn't go anymore. Doesn't care. So
don't go home games. He goes away games. He was at Villa, was you?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you was at Villa?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Was you?
Yeah.
All right. Where was you then?
I was at Villa Park.
Oh, was you?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Don't like to talk about it.
Well, that's funny because last week you said you weren't there. So make your mind up.
Well, I don't like to always.
Well.
Got lucky in the ballot. Lenny boy.
Hello.
Go on. Give us some exciting. What did you take from this game?
What did I take from it? What,
apart
the
from
end?
Sciatica.
what did I take from the game? I was surprised to see Suchek not starting.
Yeah.
Somewhat surprised to see. Why am I surprised to see that Kudos replaced Suchek. Not really sure. I'm not one of these fans that thinking just swapping out the personnel is gonna help the situation. When I saw the benefit, I thought Kudos had a good game. He does seem to have a good game. I think he's a classy player. And in just under 5 minutes, I thought we were knocking the ball. We were attacking a little bit better, but looking to pass it into space that wasn't getting created by Antonio. And I thought the moment we kind of, I wouldn't say fixed our midfield, but because I think it's a somewhat of a preference. But playing players who wanted to pass the ball forward, I'll say that. I mean, let me tell you about the inclusion of Suchek meant that we were going to try and pass the ball forward a bit more, and it just threw the onus onto Antonio that he hasn't got certain centre forward skills like moving into space and dragging players out so much, which is hard when you're up there on your own as well. And I just thought it just brought the onus back onto Antonio, who was terrible. He's out of form.
Yeah.
I don't particularly think he's very likeable at the moment. And I think that's where the problem was. When you compare that to Everton's number nine, who is a real number nine, and that Turley done that scored a goal was great, and he could have had another one, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, that 3 points could make all the difference to them, right? They're in a relegation scrap. And
they could get deduction as well, couldn't they?
Well, they could, yeah.
I don't think they will, but. It was just a disappointing.
It was, wasn't it?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On top of the third, I mean, the third defeat on the bounce.
Yeah.
Well, three in a week, really, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah.
Or 8 days.
I watched it again today, and I must admit, this might come as a surprise. This week, with the starting lineups, I don't know Moyes too responsible.
Oh, you don't?
Not as far as making changes goes, because people do want him to make changes. We do need to see what he thinks, well, what we think that he doesn't like about certain issues and selection. And but I think the problem is Moyes' ball is the problem, what he's created. So what I'm saying, I'm not blaming the person right now, but I'm blaming the system and the regime of it now.
You're not one of these flip-flop fans that turned on Moyes direct after defeat.
Well, I don't want it to go, because I don't like him. It's a plain thing. Is,
yeah, you know, to be
if
fair,
he gets fact, yeah. If he gets sacked, I'll be pleased. I just don't like the bloke. I do think he has got some good points as a manager, but I think they're a little bit of irrelevant now, because like I said last week, I don't know if I said it last week. I might have just said it at the game. I think it's a good manager in terms of if you want someone to take control of the club, which is what we needed at the time, probably the first time or the second time. I think it's good. But now we want Stiden to take control of certain things of the club. And Noble's come into the fray. So he's got to have a certain amount to say as consistency of the type of team that we want to be. At the minute, we just we got a choice. I feel either we kind of stick with Moyes' ball and take just hope that gets us through cup games. But as a Premier League team, I actually think we're fucking awful.
Yeah, it's hard to see. Because, you know, we've got obviously we've got Arsenal coming up, although they could put out their B team on Wednesday. And then we've got Brentford away. It's going to be a tough old game. Then we got Olympiacos. And then we've got... Who's that afterwards? Oh, Notts Forest, haven't we?
Nottingham Forest.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, I would know. We're ticking about upstates.
Yeah, true.
So, for me, certain things like not trying out Mbama when we had opportunities to do so.
He wasn't even in the squad, was he?
No, he weren't, no.
He was
on Thursday.
On Thursday, he was on the bench, unused on the bench.
But yeah, I looked for him yesterday, yeah. Didn't find him, no.
I tell you, it's got so bad that Canning Town Len is painting pictures of Lionel Messi.
Yeah. It's got bad, actually. We're stuck in a rut.
We are. We're stuck in a rut. We might be there for some...
Gotta get out of it.
The
rut is Moyes' ball. Antonio fitting Moyes' ball and nothing else. No one other striker that can play Moyes' ball.
players looking like they're disengaging.
Yeah, that's exactly the right words there, mate.
Well, the fan base has turned. Let's go to Nigel before we go. We have the David Moyes debate. And Nigel, let's talk about the game rather than the manager first. What did you make of it? Well done for coming to a game, by the way.
Yeah, I bet I've been to as many as you have.
So. I bet you haven't. I bet you haven't.
I have.
And by the time you miss Olympiacos, definitely not.
Yeah, I will be missing it. What did I think of the game? It's funny because obviously there's a lot of complaints about when we play without the ball, and we had most of the ball, and. Yep. Didn't really do a lot with it in the last third, did we?
No.
Now, you can look at it sometimes with individual mistakes and individual areas and individual performances. It's, you know, some fans are correct in when they complain at the way we set up and round square pegs in round holes. Which obviously don't work. But then these players in this modern era, we're told these are the best we've had. So surely, you know, they should be able to play in different positions. After all, the masters of football back in the 60s and 70s, that they would play, you know, in different positions. Billy Bonds was right back, centre back, midfield. You know, he could play anywhere. So... why can't a midfield player play either on the left or in the middle? And bearing in mind the one that's been shunted out to the left, when you actually watch him, spends a lot of time coming into the middle, and still nothing happens. Sometimes, you know, I think there's a bit of both. As you know, I spoke with Len after the game. We had a beer after the game with David Jones. And
meet up with the Norwegian Hammers or not?
No, not after the game. No, I didn't find out where they were. That was on Saturday.
Okay.
The difference in the teams was as what Len's already said was really when you've got a striker that knows how to put the ball in the back of the net and a goal scorer. No matter how bad you're playing, if they get half a sniff and it comes off, they'll get a goal. Now, the problem is, we ain't had that, have we, realistically? It's been so long, really, since I can, you know, probably Haller. You know, what's he been gone? 2.5 years now?
Skamaka scored a couple again tonight.
Yeah,
I don't think
Skamaka would have realistically done well in this country. Even playing for bigger and better teams, I don't think he would have done. I think, you know, the mentality, I think a lot of it was homesick as well, that he didn't fit in. But, you know, we've known, you know, Antonio's 34 years old. You know, we all knew 2-odd years ago he needed to be restricted in his performance. He needed someone else up there so he could play and then they could play, or to give him a bit of a rest, or to play him out wide right and have someone else. Danny Ings is not that player. You know, Ings likes the ball in front of him. When you've got inverted wingers, that ain't, and this is the problem realistically, if you look at the problem with Ings is when you've got inverted wingers, they're never whipping the ball in across the goalkeeper, and that's what he fed off of. That was his you know, food and water, wasn't it?
But when your converted winger, now striker, has said publicly that, you know, it's hard to play in this team because you've got to be able to feed off scraps because that's all you get in this team. That is very telling, isn't it?
Yeah, that and this is the thing where I see it. The problem is The problem I have is the West Ham fan base make me seem like rabid Moyes lover. And I'm not. Yeah?
Well, you do but, come out with some stuff, though.
Well,
know.
Yeah, because, yeah, your, but because
your little
of the
tweet yesterday
come
about the Tottenham
John.
Things.
Yeah, but John, you know, that's quite, true, isn't it?
What, you but, make yourself look quite sanctimonious,
well, no.
mate, when you
yeah.
sort of throw
yeah,
stuff like
my,
that.
This is my my weekly sanctimonious tweet after a game of football.
Yeah. You got it's then, Sunday
well,
sanctimony.
Then you're going to get it, aren't you?
And then you give me a grief for just writing a small thing about the six game
no,
rule.
No, but yeah, but because what you do is you do it deliberately, yeah? And you know you're winding up the fans.
Don't do
you
your
know, sanctimony. Well, but you're winding them up as well.
I'm not winding them up.
Yeah. We know what you're going to say, Nigel.
I'm not winding them up. I'm just putting them up there. If they choose to take you whatever way they take you.
Oh,
take you. But hold up
right
a minute.
For the
yeah?
goose, but not for the gander.
No, 20 years ago, right, used to laugh, right? Because we were shit 20 years ago, yeah? And so were Tottenham. Yeah, but like 606 phoning was dominated by Spurs fans moaning about... Well, we ain't won the title since 61. We do fucking, you know. And I honestly, a lot of us used to think at least we'd never be like that. And I'll tell you what, we have. Because no matter how much I answer, you know, he's lost so many games. And then you go, well, yeah, but he's also won games, hasn't he? Who would have thought? And this is the thing when you look at it. I can see why people say it's the football style play is not the best, and Jay will back me up. You know, I can rattle out all the stats about he's the best Premier League manager we had for goal scores.
A lot of that's undeniable, isn't
it? And this is the thing, you know, for league position, continuous, and winning a trophy and everything else. I never thought we would be the club. To have a fan base turn on a manager that did that, and push that aside. But as I did say, and people heard me say it, if you gave me a choice to pay and watch David Moyes West Ham or Harry Redknapp's West Ham, I'd be queuing up through the night to watch Harry's team.
Than
Moyes' team. But it's sometimes it's horses for courses, isn't it? You know, last year, you had fans going on about, why ain't we like Brighton? Why ain't we like this? And why ain't we like that? Brighton, having a bit of a blip this season. Now it's Aston Villa. Why, you know, it's always, why ain't we like them? You know, and Villa fans were probably looking at West Ham two, 3 years ago when we were finished sixth and seventh game. Why ain't we like them? We're bigger than them. This is what happens in football. People say... Oh, I want progress. I want, you know, I want to compete. What does that, yet they can't tell you what that looks like. And when does progress finish? When are you happy with the football club in the way it is? Because I've actually found a medium where I'm quite happy. Yeah, we bob along mid-table. Let's do well in the cups. You know, we've won a cup. Let's see, you know...
There must have been times yesterday where you're watching that thinking, oh.
Yeah, but I don't sit there and think, oh, we've got to sack the manager, because I've never been that. And I know the thing people can always throw out Sam Allardyce at me, but that was a cultural thing, So I've never wanted him before he turned up. People just bore people. This is the way I was about Allardyce, and I get it. There's people like that about Moyes, but I was like that in the Championship. All day long. But I'll tell you what, I never turned on Twitter and went, Allardyce has got to go, sack him.
Yeah, but there's certain people that do that, isn't there? There's certain people that do that. There's certain people that use Twitter just to for that purpose, to vent and whatever and whatever. But, you know, I don't think most people are like, oh,
there's a lot. If you, and this, the funny thing is, people on Twitter, I think there's a lot of people on Twitter that think that that is the fan base.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it ain't.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because the majority of people around where we are and people, my mates and people I talk to, you know, they're, it's not that we're happy enough with boys, but we there is a sort of, you know, it's not as bad as it has been. And I know that's no... stick and whatever, and I suppose, you know, you think when Wolves went out and got Lopetegui, had a great run, people were going, why ain't we got Lopetegui, like, and then look at it all fell apart and they sack him.
Yeah, what happened there? That was because of money, wasn't it? Because they wouldn't give him the money to buy whatever. What he needed.
Yeah, Unai Emery has done something at Villa. It's outstanding. You know, he's gone in. He's cleared a few of the Gerrard players out. You know, you don't see Coutinho no more, didn't you? Danny Ings, obviously. And this was the funny thing, you know. He clears Ings out because he doesn't think Ings can play right front on his own. And Ings joins West Ham, who like to play with one up front on their own. Well, obviously, Unai Emery was bang on the money, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, and it's...
You play the game as much as Sean plays the game.
Yeah.
I might drop a grenade and walk away.
You do drop the grenade. I just try and say
to people, I don't know. What? Yeah, perhaps I'll get wound. I'll look at it and think, you lot are all fucking... But I just don't recognise... You know, I was I was, you know, with 17 members of the Scandinavian Hammers, and you couldn't meet a nicer bunch of people. And you know, none of them, for me, were, from a distance, as mad, rabid. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's the other lunatics on the other side of the fence.
Nick.
I'm talking about Moyes in people. Like some of the Moyes in people see no wrong in what Moyes does.
Yeah, for context, yeah, just for like you say, you can throw the Allardyce thing. When you hated Allardyce with a vengeance to how you felt about him, Sean loved him and supported him and whatever. So, but now you're kind of like, Sean still loves Moyes and you're all right with Moyes. So there's always going to be like the Seans of the world. You just bobble along on the outside playing the game as well, you know.
But Allardyce was alien to the culture of West Ham United. Moyes ain't.
No, but what Allardyce was... I mean, I was like you. I didn't ever want him there. But the counter-argument was the club was in a shit state. He stabilised the club. He got us promoted and he got us established in the Premier League.
Yeah, Chris Hughton could have done that. He did have success.
So,
Hughton could have done that. What success did he have?
He won the playoffs and got us promoted.
He won the playoffs. Yeah, well done for winning the Losers Trophy coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
with
the same
squad. With the best squad, he came third.
But your argument there can be counter-argued. Yeah.
In what way? A good point, Tally.
Yeah, we deserve to be third. In another season, that could have won us the league, from what I recall.
82? No, I don't think it would have won us the league. No.
But you know, I mean, it could be counter-argued that Moyes has had success, which he has because we've won the trophy for the first time, whatever. But he's also spent the most money any of our managers at this level of football has ever had.
But then what you have to condition that is and say, of course he spent the most money, yeah, because you have to spend that money to buy the players. You know, it's the market. The market's forced us to spend the money.
But the club hasn't spent...
When you compare it to what we've spent against other clubs and what we've had to spend in the market and from positions...
In the last 3 years, we're competitive and we're not in the market.
But then people always pick out, oh, Moyes buys these players, but he didn't buy that players. And it's always the good players Moyes never buys.
What I'm just saying is that people that will ally with Moyes or ally against Moyes can be argued or for or against in the same way you allied against Allardyce and people allied with Allardyce. It's all comparable. If people have these extreme views of a manager, it doesn't make them right or wrong. It just, there's their opinions and their level of, you know, you've been there. You had that extreme level of opinion against Allardyce and people didn't.
Quite valid though.
In your mind, in your opinion. You know, so, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I was with you all the way on that, but there are people that, I've got...
All right, who would you rather watch play football? Allardyce's, West Ham, or Moyes' West Ham?
Oh, Moyes is without a doubt, yeah. But now...
So thank you, John.
I don't want to watch any more of that. I believe the best thing Moyes could have done was to say, great, after he won the trophy, Oh, well, last year, it hasn't gone well this season.
We've had a bad week. Yeah. We've had a bad week. Before that, the season was going really well. Yeah.
In some respects.
Before this week, we hadn't lost in Europe.
The results were right.
And we'd only lost to Man City and Liverpool.
Yeah, but you can't.
And we were
actually playing decent football as well when we were winning.
We were like really low percentage of possession, and
worry, John, we cured that at the weekend.
I know, but we're also like getting the most shots saved by our goalkeeper in the history of three games or something. You know, at some point in those games that we won, the Brightons and the whatevers, you know. We were kind of lucky, and the keeper was keeping us in the game. Yeah, we were winning on counter attacks and scoring every time we went. How often do we do that? We had Antonio at the time who was doing well.
If you look at it, since the international break, it hasn't gone well for West Ham. Before that. We were doing
but
well.
At the beginning of the season, the results were good. Yeah.
Up until the international break. So it's only this last week we've had three defeats on the trot. Before that, we'd only lost to Liverpool and Man City.
But you can then what's happening is everyone's referring back to last season, aren't they?
Of course they are, because they were referring back to last season because this season was going really well. So they had nothing to complain about this season. So they had to moan about last season.
I'm getting stats
thrown at me now on WhatsApp. Throwing in last season's stats and this season's stats.
By Nick.
With Moyes's, don't worry who by. But about it. But, then I'll go, how far back do you want to go? Because as I'll point out, he's played 170 Premier League games and not lost in 102 of them.
Yeah.
So.
But in context, there are people that will be extremely Moyes out, and people. But that's not the whole family.
Have you seen the?
No,
I've just
you
put
go
it in the
on.
WhatsApp
there's
group.
A lot of people. Well,
and
wait
Dennis,
you're gonna
your
miss
mate,
questions.
Is really good on that West Ham Twitter, which it's got. I assume Andy did this himself, and it's got last season. Obviously, all the Moyes out brigade hounding the Moyes in people out. And then
is that your phone with all the stats, Nigel? Yeah. Going
no.
Moyes out, no more dinosaur chasing off the Moyes in people, and then after the European win and the start to this season, the Moyes out people being chased out away by the Moyes in, and what does that say there? Kill the negative infidels, and then now. Moyes out, told you so, brigade, chasing the Moyes in out.
Yeah. Well, it is a divided fan base, and the way to cure it is have no Moyes.
Yeah, true.
But that don't, is it? Because then the Moyes... What that don't do is...
Why don't it?
But it leaves the people... Yeah, but then we'll just move on to the next manager. And this is the way football's going to be.
You just said Harry Redknapp.
I know. I'd rather watch Harry Redknapp's West Ham than David Moyes'
West Ham. Well, there could be another Harry Redknapp. Spurs have got one.
There could be.
Fucking Christ.
Mate, if we could have brought Postecoglou in, I'd have gone up to Scotland.
Well, we didn't, did we? Because no one was Moyes out enough. We didn't make a decision on it, and the right decision. Do you know what? I'll go to the point. Just skip the Moyes in or out conversation. The question should be, when do you want the club to be run by Steyn?
Right, so... It's a great link, by the way, because I think you're on to something there, Len, because I think that is what's going to happen. So,
well, I would say that if we didn't win the Conference League, it would have already happened.
Yeah. Well, let me do a quick quote. I know you shared this with you earlier, so senior source. Can't name them. people can now see why we're waiting on offering him a new deal. that was so poor against Everton. Why field the reserves in Greece if we play like that? Unnamed senior source.
Where there's doubt, there's no doubt.
Right. Obviously, I tweeted six game rule, which was picked up by a few West Ham media. And then I talked about Stuyden, which was also put up, even though I was replying to a tweet. But I did ask the question again of a senior source. And they clarified, you know, it might take nine games if you include cut games. So, you know, it's the initial thing is...
But it's a pointless conversation, isn't it?
Well, it isn't.
Nobody wants to sit here and nobody's going to sit here and wish for West Ham to lose nine games on the trot.
No, they're not. But what it means is that the honeymoon period of winning the Europa Champions League is over.
Who
the
cut
beginning
me
of
off?
The season is oh, over.
I was doing really well then. Before I realised no one was there.
Oh, we couldn't hear you.
I know. I was kept going. I was going like full steam going.
Sorry, we didn't hear you there.
Yeah, more ambivalent.
So there you go. So I have also been led to believe that Tim Seiden, well, David Moyes has told you need to get on with him this winter, right? There can be no disagreements over signings in the winter and next summer. You need to do better in the Premier League. Your honeymoon period is over from winning a trophy. It's a results game. You're only as good as your last results. But really, that last season, we were told we've got no backup plan. We've got no plan B. We've got no contingency list. And no one's available. And even if they were, we'd be looking for someone like David Moyes. The rhetoric now is that Tim Stuyden's role is to identify managerial candidates, whether... he stays to the end of the season, he goes before the end of the season, or he gets an extension. And from a business point of view and a club point of view, that's the right thing to do. Yes, we should identify other candidates that if something happens, we know 100%. Who we need to talk to.
100%. You've got to know.
Yeah.
You've got to have an idea that when your manager, not a problem, my problem with it
go on.
Is them telling the likes of you and Hugh Southern and everybody else that they talk to, what fucking goes on in this club. Because that is what stems from the problem. The constant leaking.
It's terrible.
Even the journalists today, even the Divan Mbouma, which has possibly come out from the Mbouma camp, you know, and this is the thing. Everybody wants to wash their dirty washing in public.
It's the way of the world now.
Sean, it ain't. It's a circus. It ain't the way of the world. Normal business, that don't happen. If football's a business, run it like a fucking business and keep your cards close to your chest. Don't tell the world. Yeah. That's normal business, Sean.
Well, we know that's not the way it is at West Ham.
No. And the only way this club will ever change is a change of ownership.
Yeah, you may
That's
be right.
That's the only but thing I really long forward to.
It ain't happening anytime soon. No. This whole thing about Qatar and...
Yeah,
Sheikh,
no, I don't say much.
It's just not...
What possibly could happen is that he could go away for a while and Stuyden might run the club.
Well, I think he's got... He looks at Stuyden as number two. I think he really does now. And he's backing him to the hilt. You know, he's keen to give him credit for the Boeing deal. He's really keen to promote him. And if it came down to it, my understanding would be if you've got a battle of two big personalities, Moyes and Stuyden, I think Stuyden gets it. He sees that that's...
I should hope so.
Well, you say I should hope so, but you've got to be fair to someone of Moyes' experience.
Why is he fair
well.
To people then?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Mm.
Anywho, I'm sure we're going to get onto questions, and John's going to leave us now.
What about the news then? This thing about Mbouma, is this
well,
true?
Well, I don't know. I haven't asked yet. So I had a
was it Roshan? I know. I put it on there, Roshan. Thomas,
I saw that,
it?
I read it, and you know, so he usually is on the money, and I'm sure it's come from Obama's camp, but, you know, this is the way of the world now, you know, young prospects not wanting to sign new contracts, you know?
Must be a bit frustrating for him to be close to the team quite often and not getting a sniff.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I get it.
So maybe
but,
he is.
But the thing about that is that it's hard. Yeah, because if you look, some of the best young players have gone into teams when they've got injury problems and they've had no one else to turn to. Harry Kane,
yeah,
career at Tottenham took
was
off.
Down, nearly gone, wasn't he?
Was because Tim Sherwood got given the job as a caretaker manager and he'd been coaching the youth and they had injury problems, so he brought Harry Kane in because it would never have happened. And it was just, you know, lucky or whatever. But it was the lined up.
With Moyes, he'd put, if Antonio got injured, he'd put Bowen up front or whatever.
But is he overprotecting Mbama?
How fucking protected him?
Yeah, because sometimes if you put young players in, we see what Allardyce did, yeah?
Not
you can't throw them in. You can put kids in, yeah, and you can actually do a worse thing by putting them in at the wrong time. It's a fine balancing act.
Do you think, though, maybe sort of like someone like him when we haven't got a lot of options up front and when Antonio is having a dog's game or whatever, giving him 20 at the end?
No, I think when you bring him on is when you're winning games, then you bring him on.
Did he do it, did he, though?
No, and this is the problem. That actually, you don't, because I don't know if he's too down. If you look at it against, did he come on against Olympiakos?
No,
I don't think he did.
Has he had many runouts in Europe? Has he?
Well, I'm just looking now. So this season, he's only had two substitute appearances. One was in Lincoln. And he came on. What did he come on? He came on. What minute? Oh, 66th minute against Lincoln. And in the Europa League, he came on.
Against who?
Freiburg. And he came on the 89th minute, so only a few minutes there. But that's his two appearances. Last season, I think he's 19, isn't he? So if we go to last season, I'm using...
I mean, he looks like a decent player, but...
He made eight appearances last year. So Walsall... Oh, no, that was under 21, so only six. So he played in the game. He came on substitute FCSB. He came on Premier League game Arsenal on Boxing Day. It must have been FA Cup against Derby. Europa Conference League against Larnaca, Premier League against Brentford, Premier League against Leeds. I'm sure those Premier League ones have been, he comes on very, very late, 89th minute, whatever.
It'd be disappointing if he went.
It will be disappointing.
But you know what, you say this, but we have looked at, Freddie Sears and people are now saying Callum Marshall should start, right? It's not the same in the under-21s. Let's not try and pretend that the under-21s is the same as the Premier League.
It's like Mbama, though. He tore up the under-18s.
He did?
Because he's only 18. Hold up, yeah.
He's 19, but okay.
Yes. No, last year he was in the under-18s. Yeah. One Youth Cup outstanding, we win it.
Yeah.
He also played in the under-21s last season and scored goals there.
He did.
So now he's playing against players that are older than him.
Yeah.
Now, it is totally different.
It is.
And in the Premier League. So, perhaps we should have sent him out on loan.
Right, you've got it there. I think he should have gone out to the Championship and tore up.
Well, what are we going to... I don't want to
he's
break
not
bad
ready
news
for
that.
It. He's not ready no, for it. There's no point
we
in having...
We don't know he's ready, Sean. We don't know.
The problem we have is Antonio and Ings are shit strikers in our system.
We should have put him out, right? I agree with Nigel. We should have put him out with a condition we could call him back with a month's notice or something, right? Or come back at Christmas.
We'll give him a six-month loan.
Yeah. At the moment, what's he done? He's played two bit part roles this season. So, but if he could go to a Championship club, you know, if he'd gone to, I don't know, Southampton or something, and started ripping up trees.
In a way, it's unfortunate we've got Arsenal Wednesday, because it would have got, I don't know, I think not Port Vale or Mansfield or some of the lesser teams that are still in the thing. He probably would have got a run out against them.
Yeah.
The thing is, what I was saying about Harry Kane is, they didn't know how good he was until they played him. I don't think
little run of games, wasn't it? He got a run of games.
And this is the thing, when you look at it, as I said, the boy's not had a chance, Sean. You know, we can't say, oh, the club would think. No, I'll tell you how you know if he's good enough. But giving him minutes. And as Jay says, when it ain't working, you know, why are we persevering with Danny Ings?
God knows.
I don't get it. We'd be better off persevering with Mbama. I'll tell you what, the fans would accept it far more, because this is how we bed him in. We'd rather have Mbama on the pitch. And it's all, Danny Ings, he ain't a bad striker, just ain't going to work. But Mbama's got a bit different about him. But why not Mbama and Danny Ings? How about that for novelty, David Moyes? You know?
And he might see a different Ings if he was up there with someone else.
No, this is where I do get the... And it does come down on Moyes, in that this is his team, you know. 4 years now, this is his team that he's built. Whether that some were there from before or whatever, he was happy enough with them. This is his team that he's built. And, you know, it has its limitations. And to be still flogging Antonio like a dead horse up front, 2 years past probably sell-by date at that position.
He does some strange things with four nails as well, doesn't he? He sort of brings him on for a lot of 90th minute and things like that. It's like...
Yeah. Anywho, we've got about 50 questions to get through, and this is just on episode one, and John's going to be leaving us. So let's do some predictions, shall we? And we can talk about this in the next episode when we say goodbye to John. John, predictions. Arsenal, then Brentford, I think.
3-1 Arsenal, 2-0 to Brentford.
Oh, God. You're happy. Len.
2-0 Arsenal. 3-1 Arsenal. Because I can't see us not scoring in two consecutive games. Brentford... You're away at Brentford, aren't we? Again, 3-1.
Oh, God. Nigel.
Win on penalties against Arsenal.
Oof.
And oof. Brentford, I'll go for a... because it's away from home, I'll go for a 1-0 win.
Well, I'm going to go for a 1-0 win on both of them. I just think we're just... so easy, you know. we are. There's no way he's getting sacked. You know, he's just.
In Moyes we trust.
In Moyes we trust. Exactly.
You might.
Anyway, this is episode 13. Episode 14 will be after this question time. I think there's about 50 questions, so get yourself a cup of tea. It should be some time. Will we say goodbye to John? John, yep, thanks
cheers,
for coming.
Gents. No speak to you all soon.
Yeah, speak to you all soon. I've got to do the come on, you irons, haven't I? Hang on, this is it. No, it is. There we go.
More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
No, just over the jingle button. I'm really that's an hour 15 already.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.